James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 20. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." You just got to love the King James Bible, don't you? "All superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." There's a number of things I want to bring out here, and the first one is going to be, of course, the fact of the matter, and that is that the Word of God is able to save your soul. Amen. Did you know that the Word of God is able to save your soul? That's a huge fact. That's a huge fact. You know that people need their souls saved. People need salvation. People need to get right with God. People need their sins forgiven. They need the redemption. They need to be reconciled to God. They need to overcome that event that's coming, that death. They need to overcome. They need the salvation of their souls. And did you know that the Word of God is able to save your souls? But there's a problem. In fact, there's a number of problems here. I'm going to deal with the problems. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, I want to ask You this morning to touch Your Word, carry it all the way to the heart. Things that we can't do, Lord, all we can do is deal with the ears. But You can deal with the heart. And You can move in people's minds and hearts and make them to understand and to receive the engrafted Word. I ask You to do this morning in Jesus' name. I want you to know here that James had a situation. And the situation is what all churches have had to deal with since the beginning of time, apparently since the time of James at least. And that is that he had a lot of people in his church, or a lot of people among the people he was preaching to, that were hearers only of the Word and not doers. They were superficial. They wanted to hear the Word, they just didn't want to do the Word. They wanted to hear what God had to say, they just didn't want to apply what God had to say. They wanted to understand, they just didn't want to fulfill or obey or complete. And he writes them and says, you've got this problem, and that is, you're just hearers of the Word and not doers. You're just superficial. You just are uncommitted. You're undecided. There's a problem with you.
Amen.
It's a problem. And it's a problem in all churches. It's a problem among all groups of believers that a whole lot of people just listen. They just hear. And sometimes they don't even listen terribly well. But the truth is, this is a problem. This is a situation. And I tell you, when it comes down to the day of judgment, it's going to be a sad day when somebody gone to church all their life realizes only then that they were just hearers and not doers. They were just listeners and not appliers. They never took the Word into their heart and let it engraft itself and root down into their heart so that it made a difference in their lives. It's a sad thing when someone gets to that point and doesn't realize it. Doesn't realize what they've done, what they've lost. It's too late. You're at the judgment seat now. You're at the day of judgment, and God calls you up and says, "You were just a listener." That ought to scare some people.
Yes.
That's scary. That's a scary thought. You see, here's the situation. There's a lot of hearers. That's the reality. Now, the problem is several fold. You can see it here. It says right here that there's a problem. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. This is a problem. And this is the reason why a lot of people never get any deeper into the Word than just the superficial top layer. Never want to get any deeper. Never want the Word to move into their lives. Doesn't want it to change the way they live. Doesn't want it to change the way they think. They're not willing to let it get all the way in and root down into their heart. And Jesus Himself mentioned this problem in His parable of the sower. Said that He casts the seed out and some of it falls on the wayside. And the earth is hard on the wayside. And it doesn't penetrate. It never gets down until finally something comes and takes the Word away from their heart. And it never does any good for them. And of course, others have other problems. It's on stony ground. It can't last. It can't withstand any kind of persecution. And others have a problem that it's just choked out by all the cares of this world. And what we're going to call that is superfluity of naughtiness. Now, you understand what he's talking about, right? When he says naughtiness, it means worthlessness, meaninglessness, pointlessness, uselessness, naughtiness. It means something of no value, defective. It means nonsense. And you know what he's saying here? That there's a problem in the among people who just listen to the Bible, and that is they are just full of uselessness, worthlessness, pointlessness in their life. And it's so abundant, so superfluous, so wastefully abundant, so needlessly extravagant in all of their living and all of their thinking. It's just pointless. It's useless. And it chokes out the Word. And the Word never penetrates. And I got to tell you, this is a description of so many American Christians today.
Amen.
And that is, they want to hear the Word, but they are so overwhelmed with naughtiness.
Amen.
Childish, impish, foolish, reckless absurdities, naughtiness, that the Word never penetrates. Now, I want to warn you that there's nobody in here that considers themselves better than you. Well, I can't say that. I can say I don't consider myself better than you. And Christians should just have that attitude, realize, recognize, none of us are better than anybody else. We're just sinners. We're just wicked sinners that have been saved by grace, forgiven. But let me tell you something. A lot of people have committed awfully wicked sins. But that's not necessarily where the problem lies here. I realize there are some horribly wicked person. Ask somebody, who do you think of as really wicked? Someone who could truly say he deserves hell. And you might think of Hitler, or you might think of Stalin, or you might think of that child killer or molester or child pornographer over there, or the drug dealer out there standing outside the gates of the schools wanting to, give out some free samples. You think about all these wicked people, and yeah, that's a real problem. And yeah, you have a right to be upset about that. But even those people, I really don't consider myself better than them. So I'm not sitting here in judgment as if I'm holier than thou. What I am trying to say, what I really do want to make you understand is, that's really not the problem with a lot of people. You see, a lot of people don't get down into that depth of sin. They don't go that far. They don't ever go to that extreme of being so depraved and so wicked that they actually could consider themselves that wicked, or anybody else would consider themselves that wicked. So many people would be considered by their neighbors to be good neighbors, good people. So many people would go to church, and people in church would not have anything against them at all. But God says there's a problem. It's that superfluity of naughtiness. It's a wasted life. It's wasted thoughts. It's absolute uselessness. It's absurdity. It's recklessness. It's inconsiderate. It's that childish way of thinking and acting that God says it's just an overabundance of pointlessness.
Amen.
You know anybody like that?
Amen.
Their entire life is an overabundance of pointlessness. Meaningless drivel all their life, over and over and over again. Everything they talk about, everything they're interested in, it's just over and over and over again, wasteful abundance of nonsense. Superfluity of naughtiness. But there's a solution. And the solution is to let the Word of God be engrafted into the heart. You see, the Word of God is not nonsense. It talks about the deep things of God. The Word of God talks about what life is truly about. The Word of God, this book, this Bible that's able to save your soul, it has a way of getting into your heart and changing everything about your life. so that then your life is not pointless. It's not useless. It's not a waste of time. It's not irritating to God every time you open your mouth. Why? Because the Word of God engrafts itself into your soul and things begin to change. I don't know if you've noticed that, but some people get grabbed by the Bible. Sometimes the Bible grabs a hold of a person's heart and just gets a hold. I'm talking about roots down into that heart and can't let go. And the person then, all he can do is talk about Scripture. All he can do is talk about the Bible. All he can do is think about salvation. All he can do is think about the gospel. It's part of his soul. It's part of his mind. The solution to that silly living that most people are guilty of, the solution is the Word of God grafted into the heart. Grafted all the way into the soul. You think about the silly living of most people. So silly in their way of thinking. So superficial, so short-sighted, so only about pleasures or enjoyment or entertainment or things of the moment. All they talk about. I have so many friends now. I used to not have that many friends. Now I've just got so many friends. People want to talk to me. And you know, yeah, it's fine. Let's sit and talk. But the truth is, the conversations are superfluous and useless and pointless and meaningless. It's just nonsense. It's about nothing important. Have you ever noticed what conversations are like? Hey, it's raining, ain't it? Yeah, it's raining. Yeah, you think it might rain tomorrow? Yeah, it might rain tomorrow. Yeah. It's hot out here. Yeah, you noticed? That's the kind of conversations I have. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not really criticizing anybody for being superfluous. But what if it makes that your whole life? Your whole life is superfluous. Your whole life is just a waste. Have you ever considered living your entire life, and in your entire life, all of your conversations are just about you? All of your conversations are just about, you know, your little plans or your little selfish ambitions or your little thoughts or your little opinions. This is your entire life. It's called superfluity of naughtiness. It's just a waste of time. Amen. And God says, yeah, I get it. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not something we'll all point our fingers at and say, we don't want to be like that guy. But what if it makes you not come to the Bible to get the salvation of your soul? What if you get so satisfied in the waste of life, in the absolute absurdity of the silly little things in your selfish little life, that you never come and get serious with God and never come and give your life to God, and the Word of God never roots itself into your soul? And then you find yourself as a pointless... Maybe you think that's not a terrible sin, and it, in our mind it's not. But maybe it is a serious, deadly sin in the eyes of God. Just a waste of a life. You know, you really ought to think about waste as a sin. And I realize that there's such abundance in so many ways that you might think, you know, wasting a little water, wasting a little this, wasting a little that, no big deal, right? But it might not be such a small deal, especially when it comes down to seeing how waste accumulates, and it turns out to be so much. And then your life completely waste. Now I got to ask you, what is valuable in your life? What is your life worth? What meaning is there in your life? What do you get out of it? What do you offer to God from it? What usefulness are you? I know I've told the story before, but I talked to a young man in Morelia sitting underneath a tree, and after I preached, I walked up to him and I said, hey, you know, listen, did you like it? And he said, no, he says, I don't, I asked him if he had read the Bible. He said, no, I don't read the Bible. It just seems pointless. Seems like a waste of time. And I said, a waste of time, huh? I said, what's this tree good for? He was sitting under it. He said, oh no, this tree is valuable. Well, what's it good for? He says, well, it's your shade. It gives you shade. And you can get wood from it. And there's fruits that grow on it. And it prevents soil erosion. And it, you know, it's a nice look. It's a beautiful thing. And all, he started naming all these things. So then I asked him, well, son, what are you good for? And he stopped and thought. He really did. He stopped and thought. And I could see his gears were moving. And he finally said, well, I guess just to have children. So I said, you mean the only usefulness that you have in life is to produce more useless people like yourself? Superfluity of naughtiness. Just a total waste, a total loss, absolutely uselessness. That's what people have. This is what the problem is. The problem is it's just plain useless. Everything you do. No long-lasting good effects. Nothing beneficial. Nothing eternal. Nothing that lasts. If that doesn't depress you, then something's wrong. You're not thinking straight. It ought to depress you. There's nothing. Man, that depressed me when I was 16 years old. Depressed. I mean seriously depressed. I completely understood suicide. Now, I never attempted or even thought about it seriously. So you don't have to go call the psychiatrist and have him come talk to me. But I did. I tell you what, I understood it. It seemed like such a waste, like such a terrible misery to live your life and have nothing to show for it. Nothing. You get put in the grave, and they put something on the headstone that says, "We're going to remember you forever." And about 50 years later, the thing's fallen over and all gone. Just useless. Just a waste. Nobody remembers. Nobody knows. Oh, you know, I got to thinking, there's got to be something more. There is no way that this is all meaningless. There's no way it's all pointless. And you know what I realized? That what makes the difference between a superfluous, useless, pointless, meaningless, naughty life is the engrafted Word. Amen. That what God does in our hearts is what makes the difference between pointless and meaningful. Now that might be hard for you to swallow at this moment. But it's this engrafted Word. Now let me tell you something. It needs to be engrafted. It's not just about hearing it. And I know most people want Christianity that just doesn't expect much from them. And what they want to do is just listen. But that doesn't do you any good.
Amen.
If all you do is just listen, and that's good that you listen. It is good. But it doesn't do the job. You're still completely useless and pointless and meaningless if all you do is hear and listen and sit and nothing changes, nothing is ever applied, nothing makes a difference in your life. You never get off your duff and do what the Bible is telling you. It doesn't make any difference in your life. This is the problem. The problem is, the solution is to let the Word of God dwell in you richly and make it make a difference in your life. It has to dwell in your hearts by faith. It has to come all the way into your heart and root in. You got to plow up that fallow ground. You got to dig it up and you got to break it up and you got to fertilize it. And you got to say, God, make it make a difference in my life. You see the offer right here. He says, receive it. You receive the Word. And then there's an attitude that's important. He calls it, receive it with meekness. You know, one real problem that people have is that they're not meek toward God. They're not submissive. They're not willing to be taught. They're not willing to be corrected. You understand the attitude when he says, the problem we have with all this superfluity of naughtiness, all this wasted effort, all this wasted life, all this stuff that's just thrown away, pointless, absurd, irrational, inconsiderate, useless, irreflexive, nothing to it. The problem is that they don't have the Word of God dwelling in them richly. They don't have the Word of God changing their life. And the reason why is because they're so blooming proud. They can't be corrected. They can't be told, that's wrong behavior. I mean, I'm talking about disgusting behavior, and they can't be told. You tell a homosexual, that's wrong. And they get upset. Well, why can't God say, hey, that's not the way it's right? It's not that we think we're better than you. It's that you just have to repent. You've got to change your mind. You've got to turn it around. You've got to say, God, you're right. Why can't God say, be not drunk?
Amen.
Is there anything more superfluous and useless than being drunk? There's just nothing. Listen, even you, without ever having studied the Bible deeply or let it change you, even you can come to the conclusion that it is a waste of time to get drunk.
Amen.
Smoking pot, waste of time.
Amen.
Waste of time. Do you some serious damage, but it is definitely a waste of time. All kinds of things that we do. All kinds of things. It's just amazing to me how useless, how full of nonsense the world has become and thinks that this is what life is about. Smoking. What use is it? What's the point? Make you look cool? Not to me it doesn't. Although when I was in high school, I certainly did want to blow smoke rings, and so I learned how to blow smoke rings. Man, was I something else. You realize that what you need to change is your attitude toward this Word of God. You need to change your attitude toward the Bible. You need to make it the focus of your life. You need to make God's Word, which is able to save your soul, the very focus of your life. So that it informs your conscience. So that it changes your mind. So that it helps you to avoid error. So that it makes you less foolish in God's sight. That's what the Word of God does. And you know what He says the problem is? It's that you're not meek. It's that God can't come to you and say, this is poor behavior. This isn't how you ought to live. This isn't the way you ought to do your marriage. That's not the way you ought to treat the guy behind the counter. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God constantly is informing your conscience, telling you, that's not how you should be living. That's not how you should be acting. This is not the way God intends. And you know, it is a solution. We're not just talking about a judgment. We're not talking about just wagging the finger. God is offering a solution. You let the Word of God into your heart. And you let it engraft in there. And it is able to save your soul. It's able to change your life. It's able to make you live. It's able to make you profitable to God. Can you think of anything better than to be useful to God? Oh, wow. Hey, listen, think that over. To actually be useful to God, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. You see, God's got all kinds of stuff that's not terribly useful to Him. It's all over the world. Just like you have a lot of stuff at your place that's not useful to you. Most of us throw it out, but some people are obsessive and they just have to hold on to it, even though it's not useful. But there's all kinds of things in your life that are not useful to God. In fact, they're not useful to your wife. They're not useful to your boss. They're not useful to your parents. The things in your life that aren't useful to you, they're not useful even to your own enjoyment. They actually destroy you. They actually make you sadder in the morning than you were last night. There's all kinds of things in your life that are just a waste. And you know what the Bible says? Just let God correct you. Just be meek enough to let God, in His Word, say, don't be this way, do be that way. And you know the point is? The point is to receive the Word into your heart and let it root down.
Amen.
That is actually the solution. And it's all because of this objective. Here's the objective. The Word of God, which is able to save your soul. See, now here's the thing. A tree, if it dies, that's sad. I don't know if you ever had a tree die. You know, I've had a tree that died. Oh, that's sad. Every house I ever rented, basically in Mexico, I'd always plant a tree. They never had enough trees, and I'd always dig up the concrete somewhere, not in the street, because I know they needed the street, but I'd dig up somewhere, and I'd plant a tree. And by 3 or 4 years, that tree would be nice and big, and I'd be all proud of it. And I'd come back 10 years later, and somebody had cut it down and put concrete on there again. Well, that's sad. You ever built a sandcastle and the next morning want to go out and look at it and it's been stomped on by kids? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's sad, but that's not anything sad like a human being wasted in all his life and get down to the end and be useless to God and then also be called a sinner and be called guilty and then show all of his guilt and all of his sin and show how he wasted everything that God had made for him and granted to him and offered to him and he wastes and God says, depart from me, you're useless to me. You're useless. But the option, the opposite, and the whole difference here all hinges on what the Word of God is in your heart. How it is rooted into your heart. Whether it has ever gotten in past the surface. And the difference is the Word of God makes you useful to God and a blessing to God and a glory to God and fellowship with God and own God as your own. Even be the bride of Christ. His glory. I got to say, this is a huge objective. What is the objective in your world? What's the objective in your life? Is it to get a better job and make more money? No, don't you understand? That's the means. That's how you do it. What is your objective? What's the point of making more money? You say, well, I'm going to retire. And when I retire, then I can go out and have fun. Okay, what's the point of having fun? What's the point of retiring? What's the point of, you know, have you ever noticed that people, when they retire, they go traveling? It's amazing. Just go down to downtown San Antonio and see the people who come to see San Antonio. Have you ever listened to those little tours that go on the San Antonio River? Now, this is a dam right here. We can raise up when it floods and, you know, whatever. What? What? Somebody says, oh, Dad, don't you want to go? We go to Italy. We go see the Colosseum. Why? Why? What's the point? Look at a picture. Read an encyclopedia article on it. Watch Discover magazine. Do something like that. What's the point? There's got to be a point. I'll tell you what, there is no point except by the Word of God engrafted into the soul. The Word of God that gets all the way in, that roots all the way down and completely changes your mind and makes you think different. You know what the Bible calls that? The saving of your soul.
Amen.
Not ruined. Not thrown away. And listen, our souls are badly damaged. Our souls are hurting. Look around in the world. Our souls are in bad shape. Your children are druggies. They're fornicators. They're homosexuals who think they're normal. Or insist that they're normal and know better, really. They are thieves who think it's all right. They think it's justified. There's a real problem with our souls in our world. It's a badly damaged world. It's ready for destruction. It's evil in all of its sides. And the best that you have to offer is superfluity of naughtiness, wasted your life, complete pointless living. Foolish opinions and absurd reasons and self-justification, a self-centered, selfish selfishness. That's what people's lives are. And God is saying, it's not over. I can save your soul.
Amen.
I can save it. It's like that husbandman that goes and says, there's still some good in it. We're not going to cut it down. There's still something good in it. We can save it.
Amen.
You know what God said when He saw how badly damaged you were and how much of a waste you were and how much you were disgusting to Him and how everything that He had planned for you, you had trashed and thrown away, and now all you can think of is silly, absurd thoughts. He says, I can save it.
Thank you, Lord.
I can redeem it. I can pull it out of the mire. I can see you there. You're laying there. You're polluted in your blood. But I can say, live, and you'll live. And it's all about that Word, that holy Word of God engrafting into your soul. To change your mind, and to change your life, and to change the outcome, and to change the results. This is the objective that God has for your life. And if you don't want it, you don't have the meekness. You don't have that humble, lower your head and submit to what God says attitude. You don't have that? You lose your soul. You lose it all. Or if all you want to do is listen and not commit, you just want to listen. You just want to hear. Go ahead. Please proceed. Just keep on talking. I'm interested. Go ahead. I'm here. And day after day after day, your pointless life goes wasting away until you finally die and meet God. And He says, you wouldn't submit. You weren't meek. You couldn't be taught. You'd never repent. You could never break down. You could never say, God, I'm sorry. You could never just come to me and ask me to change you. You'd never let the Word get any deeper. What a tragedy. What a loss. You lose a pet, that's one thing. I'm sad. I cried when Dobie died. I cried. He was just a dog. But he was important to me. And it's sad. No, I'm not going to meet him in heaven. I'm sorry for all you pet lovers. I understand the difference between a dog and a human. I really do. I understand. We're made in God's image. But let me tell you something. I understand the sadness. But what sadness if you throw away your soul? What sadness if you lose everything that God had made for you and you are made in His image and you throw it away? Because you won't submit? Because you won't receive? Because you got the wrong attitude? Because you're just so full, overflowing, full with nothingness, with pointlessness. So interested in things that have no importance at all. I just can't think of anything any sadder. That's just about as bad as it gets. Throw away everything and receive nothing in return. Let's pray.